Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
News Radio 930 WBEN. It's Tom Bowerly and David Bellavia. It's Bowerly and Bellavia on News Radio 930 WBEN.
All righty. I know you've been waiting for it, and I will repeat the word probably ad nauseum by the end of the hour. But the WBEN cash code word this hour is champion. Wouldn't it be nice if Buffalo had a champion in the NHL or NFL or both in the same year? Could you imagine that? The word is champion, C-H-A-M-P-I-O-N. The word is champion. Text the word champion to 72881, 72881, and you might win $1,000 in the WBEN cash code contest. And even if you like tune out radio station contest because you think I will never win, you got just as good a chance as anybody else does if you text the word. So it is champion. That's the cash code word this hour. Text it to 72881. Good luck. Hope you win from News Radio 930 WBEN. And in a startling turn, and sometimes things do take a turn, for the second time in 2 weeks, I agree with something said by Governor Andrew Cuomo.
And rather than spend the money on filling holes in the dike, let's build a new dike.
Truer words were just never spoken. It is 9 minutes after four at News Radio 930 WBEN. Something's got to be done to help the people along the Lake Ontario shore. I mean, my goodness, it's terrible up there. I know people with property up there and houses up there, businesses up there, good grief. All right, it is 9 minutes after four. As promised, minimal setup so I can get right to your telephone calls because you've been so patient. If you're just joining us, this is a continuation that I promised you of a show we ended the other day by doing, and it is your near-death experience. It could be one of those out-of-body near-death experiences, or it could be one of those, holy crap, I almost got in what would have been a devastating accident near-death experience. Could be something like you fell down and hit your head, or you had a massive heart attack, something like that. And 803-0930 is the phone number, star 930 on the cell phone, 1-800-616-WBEN. Sunday night, 7 to 10, I will be here for a special Bowerly Ghost program. 7 to 10, taking your telephone calls, and I got to get this on the Bowerly and Bellavia Facebook page, but somebody sent me what is purported to be a photo of a possible ghost captured down in Issue-ay. I want to put that up online. That's one of the, if it's a ghost picture, it's one of the best ghost pictures I've ever seen. If it's Photoshopped, they did a really good job. That's the problem. You don't know what's Photoshopped anymore and what is legit. Like the pictures I often received of me engaged in various acts. Somebody has way too much time on their hands. It is, I can't even go into details. I mean, they crack me up. At the same time, they alarm me somewhat. It is 11 minutes after 4 at News Radio 930 WBEN. Let's get right back to the calls. Everybody in order. And it is Guy in West Seneca. Guy, welcome. You're on WBEN. Sir, you've had a close encounter with the beyond.
Yes. Thank you, Tom. I was about 5 years old, and I was at my uncle's, aunt and uncle's house. They were watching me. My parents had gone on a labor union convention, and so they were watching me for the week, and I was 5 years old, and I had older cousins, two females, that thought it would be smart or funny to give the young kid a fireball, and those were pretty big at the time. They were not small, like gumball size. They were huge, and unfortunately, I breathed it in and went to my windpipe, and very shortly, you know, without respiration at all, not a drop of air, I was about dead. And I popped out of my body, my soul, and I was watching it very clinically. And when I popped out, there was no pain, and I was just looking at myself saying, wow, it's not going to work out too good. It doesn't look like anything's going to happen, and it's all over. Very clinical, no emotion in my thinking at all. It's just, you know, very interesting that I was watching the scene. And then I you know, finally, with some debate, my cousins, they didn't want to get their father and tell him that they that basically they killed me, but they did go in the house and get him. He came out running. And while I watched from above, I watched him yank me off the ground and pound my back so hard, one shot, and that fireball shot out a million miles an hour. All of a sudden, I was back in my body experiencing all the pain you could imagine with, you know, where a fireball was lodged close to my lungs. And I thought, probably felt that pain for months. But he was a very powerful man and an Olympic athlete. He had forearms like Popeyes. And he pounded that out, 1 pound, and that fireball came shooting out, and I was back in my body.
When the fireball came shooting out of your mouth, could you feel yourself going back into your body? What was the sensation like then?
Yes, it was. I'd gotten sucked right back into my body, and of course, then I did experience the pain that I did not when I was out of my body. I experienced no pain whatsoever. It was very calm. Sedate, no pain, no feeling whatsoever.
Well, that so okay. As somebody, I've never had an out of body experience. What was it like? I mean, you kind of describe it as being tranquil and placid and peaceful.
It was. It really was. And despite the fact that it was me dying, I had no opinion on it. It just like, oh, well, I guess it's not going to work out too well. You know, it just was like nothing mattered. There was no urgency. There was no strong emotion, very, very sedate, almost like the difference between starlight and laser. Just no intensity whatsoever. Just very, very calm.
Wow. Well, that's pretty cool. I'm interested to see if we have other people who also had out-of-body experiences or the classic near-death experience. Thanks. Nothing like that has happened since?
No, other than I didn't know it at the time, but I was hallucinating. I had some toxic mold in my house, and it was very similar to that. But that was not a near death experience. I wasn't dying, but I didn't know what was happening to me. It was it ended up being toxic mold that I complained to the landlord about, and then once they brought in experts to paint some paint over it, I was very sad when I realized that was what was giving me the hallucinations. They were very pleasant.
Pleasant hallucinations. All right. Well, thank you very much. Appreciate the call. Kind of remarkable being 5 years old at the time. That frees up a line at 803-0930, *930, 1-800-616-WBEN. Next up, and it is Bill in Hamburg. Thank you for your patience, sir. You're on the air.
Yeah, Tom. This may be a little off your topic. I didn't have a near death. I had a massive heart attack, Widowmaker. I died on the table. I was knocked out for 9 days while they tried to bring me back, put me on a heart pump, 23 days in the hospital. Coming off the medications, they used some really, really strong medications. I had all kinds of hallucinations coming off and was like looking at a Peter Max painting. Everything I looked at looked like psychedelic coming off. So I had 2 days of that and didn't sleep for 2 days coming off. That I remembered. And we'll always remember.
What did they give you? Morphine? Dilaudid?
I don't know. My brother told me I should go to whatever department it is and get a copy of everything they did to me, and I haven't done that yet. It's been 3 years. I probably should still do it. To this day, I too much butter on a lot of things, and I was 100% occluded. In the LVL, there's a lot of things I wish I'd done a lot more emphasis in my life, but that's the one thing I did 100% is I was 100% occluded.
Okay, so now that being said, and having had that near-death widowmaker heart attack, to which I can relate very, very well, how did you deal with it after the fact? Did you go through the cardiac depression?
Yeah, I probably a low grade for quite a while.
It's not that's normal. That's not unusual.
Yeah, it's you sort of wonder why the heck am I still here? There was somebody. I used to work in corrections, and somebody within a week or two, a lot younger, had a 5-year-old kid. He probably was ignoring a lot of his symptoms, and he fell down in our parking lot of the jail. We had two supervisors who were EMTs, and they worked on them until the regular EMTs got there, and they finally declared them. And I'm thinking, I'm 66 years old, and this guy's in his 30s, and you know why?
I know there's no rhyme or reason to it. Sometime, and I was also 100% blocked with the Widowmaker, and I don't understand it, and the doctors don't understand it, and I never will. And you just move on with your life, and you have to take every day as it comes, basically as a gift.
Yeah.
Because neither of us should be here.
Pardon?
Neither of us should be here.
Yeah. Exactly. Like I say, it's a little different than your other ones. I don't remember anything about it, but coming back out of it was—I never want to go through that again.
No, forget the heart attack. I don't want to be catheterized again.
Oh Lord!
Thanks very much for the call, man. I'm glad you're still around.
All right. Thanks very much.
Bye bye. Yeah. No, they don't tell you when you're being catheterized. This could produce scarring that is going to give you strictures. They don't tell you that. Ow! It is. Oh, there's so many. I could do a whole comedy bit on that little situation. And I do mean little situation. 19 minutes after 4, let's get back to the calls on WBEN. And it is Terry in Texas with a near-death experience. Terry, you are on. Hello.
I appreciate you taking the call, Tom.
Indeed.
2002-ish, somewhere around there. I was in the military, but this is a non-combat story. One of my NCOs at the time, a non-commissioned officer, he was getting married, so we did what any responsible Joes would do, threw him a bachelor party, took him to a bunch of strip clubs. I was at Fort Riley, Kansas, so we ended up going out to like Kansas City or something like that. Just bar hopping, having a good time, like 3 carloads with us, you know, like 12 guys, basically. Nearing the end of the night, I was pretty hammered, to say the least, and I couldn't find my military ID, and so I couldn't get into one of the bars that we were trying to get into. I basically told everybody, well, I don't want to ruin everybody's good time. I'll just go crash out in the car, you know what I mean? And I went into the car that I was in and laid the seat back. I vividly remember stretching out my feet and just kind of hanging back and going to sleep, taking a nap. Well, at some point in life, everybody came out of the bar. We ended up traveling back home. I was asleep for the ride.
I got to interrupt at this point, Terry, because I got a break for traffic, but we'll pick it up on the other side. I thought that was going to end in a different way, but he threw me a curveball. Let's go back to talking about near-death experiences. You might have been out of body. You might have just had a close call. Terry in Texas was out carousing, drinking, and becoming inebriated with his friends while he was in the service. It was a bachelor party. He had sprawled out on a seat. His friends get back to the car, and they're in the process of driving somewhere else after Terry sat out the festivities at one of the locales. Terry.
Yes, sir. So the driver of the vehicle that I was in, it was like a 2000-something Dodge Neon or something like that. So a small car. He fell asleep doing about 80 miles an hour, and we ended up ricocheting off of approximately 8-foot-tall concrete barriers from left to right. I woke up once the vehicle had stopped. One of the guys in the vehicle behind us, was trying to get my attention, get me woke up or whatever, and the radiator, I just remember the radiator was about 2 inches from my face. There was smoke. There was like a rancid stench in the air from the fire and the antifreeze and all that stuff. passed back out again, regained consciousness on the side of the road with a state trooper standing over me. And basically, I couldn't move my body. I thought I was paralyzed. So I'm crying because I think that I'm paralyzed, basically. I don't know what happened, but I ended up being able to move again. I got up to be radio friendly, relieved myself on the side of the road next to the state trooper, and then collapsed back on the ground, woke back up in the hospital. The imprint from the seatbelt was so much that if you looked at it close enough, you could see the ridges from the seatbelt that, you know, that left the bruise across my chest.
That's one hell of an impact.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy. The moral of the story, I guess, is to this day, I have no idea who put that seatbelt on me before we left.
Wow.
To head out for the night. So I have nobody to thank. I asked everybody. Nobody could seem to remember. Unfortunately, a couple of the gentlemen that I was partying with are no longer with us. But somebody saved my life that night, and I don't know who it was, but I'm always grateful for it.
That's an amazing story, and probably due to your tender years, apparently your bones didn't suffer any kind of a compression fracture from the pressure of the seatbelt and the impact that you took.
No, I was good. I mean, I was in bed for about a week. Platoon sergeant and everybody was pretty, you know, mad at us for, you know, what he thought was carelessness. But the driver of the vehicle, he wasn't drunk. He never had any charges pressed against him or anything like that. I think they were just more concerned that we were missing PT.
That's a hell of an excuse. Terry, thanks very much. Glad you're alive to tell the tale. And yeah, who
worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Put the seatbelt on him. That's a friend. It is 25 minutes after 4 at News Radio 930 WBEN. Cash code word, if you missed it, is CHAMPION. Champion is the word, and you can text it to 72881, 72881. Can you tell that I'm desperate to get as many winners from this show as we possibly can get from this show in the national contest? Because I look at it this way. The people at corporate, they know that hundreds of radio stations and millions probably of listeners are all taking part in the contest at the same time, right? So if we get a few winners on this little radio show in Buffalo, it kind of makes Bowerly and Bellavia look good to the corporate overlords. But I would walk 500 miles and I would walk 500 more to meet a man who walked 1,000 miles to fall down at your door when I'm walking. It's Bowerly and Bellavia, News Radio 930 WBEN. Thanks to my buddies in Hit and Run for letting me play that song last Friday night at Santora's. I hadn't practiced it before we played it, but they just told me the chords, and there we were. I mean, it's not that hard a song. There is a C-sharp minor that they throw in toward the end. Kind of threw me, but that's neither here nor there. 53 degrees, News Radio 930 WBEN. And welcome to Le Programme. And if you're just joining us, we're talking about your near-death experience. We ended a show the other day on this topic, and I had to leave a lot of people on hold. Very, very disappointed. Now, it could be a near-death experience where you were out of body, an out-of-body near-death experience, or it could be like a close call you had, you know, the closest you've come. And if you have multiple stories, I do request that you select the best of your stories for radio airtime, just so we can get to as many folks as possible. One line open, and I'm going to get right to phone calls, 803-0930, star 930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. Like I always say, the more calls I have, the less you got to listen to me talk. Here's Rich in Cheektowaga on WBEN. Rich, welcome.
Hi, Tom. just wait a minute. I'm finishing writing down that number for the Minoxidil commercial.
That's a hard one.
So
I've got a soft spot in my heart for that ad.
Well,
I hope you're sitting up erect.
In any event, when I heard you announce this topic, I thought it was tailor-made for me because right away I thought of three that I've been through. And
you're going to narrow it down to the best one.
Absolutely. I did narrow it down to one, but I've had those that are medical in nature, natural in nature, and criminal in nature.
Oh, geez. Now I want to hear all of them. All right.
Well, here's the one that I selected. It was we have had a family picnic every summer since the 1920s. And one of our things that always happens, it's a tradition, that it's always going to rain on the day of the family picnic. So I was about 15 years old, and, of course, we're all out doing our thing, and the storm starts to roll in. And so folks start running in from the Ball Diamond and the Horseshoe Pit, and with military precision, my family starts flipping up the picnic tables to provide some side shelter underneath the shelter to keep them from the elements. And an uncle of mine were kind of stragglers, and we're walking toward the shelter, and all of a sudden, I mean, I don't see it because I was facing in the other direction, but there's this huge flash behind me, and all of a sudden, I feel this electric, total head-to-toe body tingling sensation, kind of like the feeling that I get when I run into you out in public. And what I can see is my family in the shelter, and they're looking at myself and my uncle, and their eyes look like dinner plates. And I just froze for a minute, and then I walk toward the shelter. My mother takes me in her arms, and she hugs me, like, you know, real gently, like she's hugging a ghost, because she was a very superstitious woman. And the hair on the back of both my uncles and my head was singed considerably, and you could smell the odor of burning hair. And it was, you know, just a momentary thing. I don't remember this part, but immediately after the strike, they tell me that I ran around in a small circle very quickly and then fell over. And for about the next week and a half, I was able to do complex mathematics in my head.
So you are like the third person I've talked to that got involved in a lightning strike?
Lightning strike, yes.
And you're serious about doing the complex mathematics in your head?
No, not at all.
I was going to say, I wasn't sure if you were using hyperbole or not, because, I mean, stranger things have happened.
Right, I just thought you'd appreciate it, that's all.
I appreciated it, but for the sake of accuracy, you were not able to do complex mathematics in your head following this, the tingling and the lightning strike.
Nor did I run around in small circles, but that's a funny visual.
Well, yeah, but, I mean, God knows what neurologically happens to a human being when hit by lightning. That's a hell of a blow.
It hit the tree that we had just walked past, so it wasn't a direct strike.
Yeah, close enough for me, though.
Enough to singe our hair.
Well, yeah, exactly. Close enough for me. You talk about smelling burning hair. It was either that or you're having a stroke.
Right. Well, you can imagine. I mean, I've been able to use that line, with women during rainstorms ever since. And like, no, sweetie, really, the safest place to be is right by me, because it won't hit in the same place twice.
I love it. Just out of curiosity, when a massive thunderstorm is in the offing and you're watching the radar on your cell phone, do you have any flashbacks or any, I don't want to say depression, but any anxiety about what might happen?
Oh, no, none whatsoever. As a matter of fact, I love watching thunderstorms and stuff.
Wow.
It didn't affect me in that way at all.
Well, that is...
I didn't do, I'll tell you, because I am a faithful Catholic, is I did not look heavenward and say, ha, missed.
All right, thank you very much. Got a good sense of humor about it.
You're very welcome.
All right, thank you. Phil, I'm stunned that, three people have gotten on the air, and I think we had a fourth on hold the other day that had been involved in a lightning strike situation. That is kind of remarkable. In my world, that's remarkable. Let's get back to the calls. 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. And I promise I will not keep you on hold for an interminable amount of time when you call. Got to be respectful of your time. Sometimes I'm a prisoner to how long a caller is, but some of these stories have to be given context and texture. Let's go to Sam in Williamsville. Give us context and texture, sir.
Hey, good afternoon, Tom.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, it triggered a thought. In 2003, I had a heart attack, and I was taken to an emergency angioplasty at Mercy Hospital. Had the thing done. They went in through my leg and then opened up an artery or two and put two stents in me. Later that evening, my wife was visiting early, as I recall, and the artery opened up or something where they closed it up, started bleeding. And what I remember, the sensation was like cutting on a faucet of water and having just the water flow out.
Oh, good Lord.
But it was blood.
Right.
And so she called, I guess one nurse and another nurse came, and they were trying to clamp the thing by hand, or get it to stop, whatever medical procedure that was. And it went on for a period of time. And again, the blood was just continuing to flow. Then they said, hey, we may need to give him a transfusion. He's losing so much blood, da-da-da-da. And I started to fade away. I don't know if I was fainting or I don't know what it was. I thought I was going to die. But then a little bit later, it was very painful. Somebody came in with this huge, like, vice grip type clamp.
Right.
And then put that on the leg. And started to, just like a vice grip, just tighten it and tighten and tighten. And they finally got the thing clamped. And they said, just don't move. They gave me a shot of morphine to calm me down and pain, which was really nice. But it was one of the more painful experiences I've ever had. Eventually it healed up. I had a tremendous blue bruise going all the way down to my ankle.
Oh yeah, I'm sure it turned every color of the rainbow before it was through with you.
And I had a real loss, of whatever the red cells are combined with the white cells, and it took me about 6 months, I guess, and in a pretty bad anemic condition.
Oh, absolutely.
You can probably relate to that.
Oh, I can relate to that because 3 weeks after my surgery, I went out for New Year's Eve. I had three fireballs, and I was down for the count. Nobody told me I was anemic, and I was a 0.16 on three glasses of fireball, which does not happen to me, and spent New Year's Eve at the suburban hospital ruining the day.
And I thought I was in pretty good health, but you never know.
Well, this sounds like a real freak thing. I mean, where you basically went into hemorrhage mode.
Like I said, like a faucet turning on, and they could not clamp it.
Well,
losing a lot of blood.
My guess would be, and again, I'm certainly not a physician, but my guess would be that they probably had you on blood thinners, which didn't help.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that they did. I had another one later, and I didn't let him go through the leg again. But it was an eye-opening experience, to say the least. And
I'm just kind of curious, before they brought in the clamp, did they try to even do an improvised tourniquet above where the blood was gushing out?
I think they were trying to do something like that. They were about... By the time they finished, there were about four nurses, two on both sides of the leg. And then they called for this clamp. And I will say this, they knew exactly what they were doing. It wasn't the first time they had done this.
No, thank God for that. Thank God they had the foresight to call for transfusions in the event you needed them.
Right. But I can distinctively remember, and I guess it's, I don't know, if I'm assuming I was near death, but I can remember just sort of like fading away. Like, okay, the light was just going to turn off, you know?
And with good reason. I mean, you're exsanguinating there in a hospital situation. But, hey, thank God you were in the hospital, and thank God those nurses were on the ball and the equipment was there to take care of you when you began to have all kinds of complications.
You know what? Like I said, you triggered a thought. I really hadn't thought about it in, you know, quite some time, but I ought to think about it more because I was very, very fortunate, I guess.
Well, yeah, and maybe you're going to hate me for triggering the memory because maybe now you're going to go into a delayed depression over realizing how close you might have come to checking out. Please don't do that. I don't need that on my conscience, my friend.
I'm not going to do that, but I guess I did have a near-death experience.
I would say I that counts in my book, brother. I'm glad you called, glad you're alive to tell the tale, and thank God for the great nurses and emergency personnel at the hospital who knew what they were doing. Did they eventually cauterize you?
Yes.
Yeah, that's always fun.
That's what it is.
Yeah, I mean, there's they can do it chemically or they can do it with good old-fashioned heat. Thanks very much. Glad you called in. Your near-death experiences, 803-0930, star 930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. And if you're thinking about calling in, I mean, I'd be interested in knowing, those of you who've had near-death experiences, if you went through the post-traumatic depression that they never tell you is going to happen, but it happens more often than not, in particular, for some reason, with cardio situations where you beat the odds and then you spend a good deal of time, for no good reason, bummed out. Like, how did you survive? Bowerly and Bellavia. Hey, somebody sent me, you know, a lot of times people send me ghost pictures and they're orbs or alleged orbs. And to be brutally honest with you, I'm not really big on orb pictures because to me, a grain of dust, an insect, could easily be mistaken for an orb. But a person sent me an alleged, possibly ghost picture from Issua, or is it Issue? I think it depends. If you live there, I think it's Issue. Otherwise, it's Issua. I never quite got it. But anyway, I put it up on the Bowerly and Bellavia Facebook page. The emailer says it is not altered. It is not Photoshopped. It is a cropped version of a photo which showed other children. But obviously, because of privacy concerns, she did not share the picture of the other children in the photograph, which I am frankly thankful she did. But I put the picture up. I'd like your thoughts. I've never seen a ghost, but there's an alleged ghost picture I just put up at Bowerly and Bellavia's Facebook page. And Sunday night, 7 to 10, we will be doing the Bowerly annual tradition of ghost extravaganza. So for as long as I'm working here, I have now committed myself to every Sunday before Halloween doing a 7 to 10 ghost show. Oh, twist my arm. Twist. Oh, yeah, I guess I'll do it. Phil, should we just break now? And you want to tell the folks on hold? We'll be with them right after the news break. Okay, here's the deal, gang. And please know I do try to be as considerate of your time as I possibly can be. I've got people on hold, and I will take everybody in order following the news at 5. I do have a couple of lines open, which you can either snatch now, or you can wait until you hear the 5 o'clock news with Mr. Tom Puckett coming to an end, and take care of him at that point. You can call 803-0930, star 930 on the cell phone, and 1-800-616-WBEN. It is Bowerly and Bellavia on a pretty darn nice, if a little breezy, Wednesday.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.